Namanda, vutsu 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 namanda.
I'll begin my talk by reading a passage from the Shinran Shonin's teaching, rather Shinran Shonin's writing on the true teaching practice and realization. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho in English. Thus, when one has aborted the ship of the vow of great compassion and sailed out on the vast ocean of light, the perfect winds of perfect virtue blow softly, and the waves of evil are transformed. The darkness of ignorance is immediately broken through, and quickly reaching the land of immeasurable light, one realizes great nirvana.
Hongan no oi naru jihi no fune ni nori, nenbutsu no shujo wo osame toru, koumyo no taikai ni ukabu to, sono ue nai kudoku no kaze ga shizuka ni fuki, subete no wagiwai no nami wo tenjite osamaru. すなわち迷いの闇を破って計り知ることのできない光明の世界に速やかに至って仏の悟りを開き衆生を救う働きをさせていただけるのである。とナマンダブツナマンダブツナマンダブツナマン。
Thank you all very much for joining us this morning. I welcome you to come and sit under our fans as they turn around. I'm not sure if it's cooler or warmer than your house here. I know here in the Bay Area, many of us don't have a need for air conditioning, but sometimes perhaps we wonder if maybe just that one night a year we wish we had it. But it's wonderful to have you all here with us this morning for our service on this Labor Day weekend, when we show our appreciation for the work of all the people in our lives who labor in many ways to make our lives, our day-to-day lives possible, both in the home, outside the home, and in a variety of circumstances. And so as I have been reflecting on this Labor Day weekend, I was reminded of these six paramitas, which are our model for living in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition. This was also the basis for our summer Terakoya program that we had last month here at the temple with the children. And so as we talk about these six paramitas, we reflect upon these six virtues, the virtues of giving, discipline, patience, endeavor, meditation, and wisdom. And I think this weekend, as we observe our Labor Day celebrations and show appreciation for the hard work of many people, it's nice to also reflect upon this virtue of endeavor, this paramita of virya, that I shall do my best in all things. And this includes the sense of making an effort toward a noble purpose. As I reflect on this particular paramita, I'm often reminded of the story of a Buddhist priest who, prior to becoming a Buddhist monk, worked very hard as a samurai. He was a samurai warrior in Japan, and he was very powerful. He lived in the Edo period, so around mid-17th century, around 1600s, late 1600s, early 1700s, and his name was Zenkai. So Zenkai started out as a samurai warrior, and he lived at a time when there was some internal strife and some conflict. And so he lived this life of trying to find happiness in life by being strong and by competing with others. And he lived this life of difficulty, but he found he wasn't able to find happiness and peace of mind through this life of a samurai. And so he eventually left his life as a samurai and entered the Buddhist priesthood. He became a Buddhist monk, and he began traveling, searching for peace of mind through Buddhist practice. It said that he completed the cycle of 88 pilgrimage temples in Shikoku. Some of you may be familiar with this. A very difficult journey. And at the time, they didn't have buses. These days, when people do this circuit, they often ride on a large coach bus. And it's still a lot of work, you know, to get out at every single temple and do a service. But in those days, you only had one choice, which was to walk the 66 route. So he was a very fit, very healthy priest, and he walked this great distance, and he continued to following this journey. Then he crossed over to the island of Kyushu in southern Japan, and he continued his pilgrimage, continued visiting temples, continued traveling from place to place on foot, until he arrived at a place on the border of Oita Prefecture and Fukuoka Prefecture. And he was heading to visit a famous temple called Rakkanji, the Temple of the Arhats. So he was on his way to visit this Temple of the Arhats when he came upon his path. His path was gently sort of meandering along the side of a fast-flowing, deep river. And he got to the path, and the path just kind of faded right into the side of a cliff. And there was this kind of rickety bridge made of rope that was sort of just clinging to the side of this bridge. And he took a look at it, and he thought, wow, I don't know about that bridge. It doesn't look very safe. And so he sat at the side of this river, waited by the bridge until a traveler came to see if perhaps there was another route. So sure enough, a traveler came passing along, and this was a main route between two big towns and this way to get to this Rakkanji temple. So he came along, and there was a traveler came along with a horse loaded with his goods and things that he was transporting, and he took one look at this bridge, and he said, you know, is this bridge, excuse me, sir, is this bridge safe? I don't know if I would say safe. I don't know that I would call this a safe bridge. He says, oh, really? Do you use this bridge? He goes, yeah, I cross this bridge about once a week. He says, oh, okay, so you've been across it. Yeah, I've been across it many times. He says, has anybody ever fallen from this bridge? Oh, yeah, just last week. Just last week, a traveler slipped and fell into the river. Oh, no, what happened to him? We don't know. He just washed down the river. Oh, no. Yeah, and the week before that, two horses fell in. What? It's like, oh, yeah. So I always hold tight to my horse. And he says, but if the horse falls in, I'm letting go. Right? But then the horse, what happened to the horses? Well, horses are good swimmers. Yeah, did they get him back? We don't know. They just went down the river and no one ever saw them again. And so then Zenkai thought, well, this is terrible. Something must be done. And it was at that moment that he had a great insight, because he'd been traveling all over looking for peace of mind by doing these difficult journeys for himself, going to the temples, thinking about how can I get peace of mind from these temples. But then at this moment, he said, at this moment, I'm going to make a vow. Do you know what a vow is? A vow is like a promise. So I'm going to make a promise that I am going to build a tunnel through this cliffside over to the other side so that everyone will be able to pass through safely. And at the moment that he made that vow, this was a big project. It was going to be a lot of labor, a lot of hard work. But at that moment, all of a sudden, he had great peace of mind and he had great energy. A lot of enthusiasm. He was inspired. And he took his bowl and he went on takuhatsu. Takuhatsu is when monks in Japan, if you've ever been to Japan, maybe you've seen monks standing in front of a Buddhist, in front of a train station, maybe outside a Buddhist temple, and they have the big hats like Shinran Shonin, and they're holding a bowl and they might be chanting the sutras, and people come in and they put some money in their bowl. And so this is the way monks in Japan have traditionally raised money. raised money to live on or raised money to build temples, they would go on rounds. And this is a tradition going all the way back to the days of the Buddha, when the Buddha would go from place to place, household to household, receiving the food that he would eat. So this is the traditional way that Buddhist monks have raised the funds that they needed to do projects. And so Zenkai went from house to house, and he raised enough money to buy a lot of hammers and a lot of chisels and to hire a few workers to come and help him. And so in those days, they didn't have dynamite. In Japan now, they have marvelous machines for tunneling through rock, right? They've built high-speed bullet trains right through the Japan Alps, all the way to Nagano, right through the mountains, right? From Osaka all the way down to Kyushu, tunneling right through the mountains in Hiroshima, Nagasaki prefectures. In those days, they didn't have big machines. What do you think they had? What do you think they had, Yoma? They had shovels, and they had hammers, and they had, I'm blanking on, what are those things called? Picks? What are they called? Anyway, they had, you know, just like a big nail and a hammer, and a chisel. Chisel, that's the word I'm looking for, a chisel. So they would just have a hammer and chisel, and they chiseled away. They chiseled away through this tunnel, and they started chipping away through this tunnel. And as Zenkai chipped away at this tunnel, it said that he just kept working. He would only rest to sleep and to eat. And gradually, he started out with a shaved head. He had even less hair than I do. And gradually, his hair grew long and long and long, and his beard grew long, and his clothes became tatters because he was working every day. And at first, many people were there helping him. But towards the end, he was just there by himself, chipping away. And it said that he would, periodically, he would break holes in the side of the cliff to open up so the air would come in and light would come in so that he could keep chipping away. And it said that years went on, and at first everybody was very enthusiastic. It was like, okay, let's do it. Let's build this tunnel. But think, they were using hammers and chisels. It took so long. And they worked for a year, and maybe they only got 10 feet in. And so people said, oh, it's too much work, right? But periodically, Zenkai would open up a hole in the side of the cliff, and people would notice. It's like, hey, there's a hole that wasn't there before. And they would hear coming from that hole, it's clink, 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 sound of the chisel and the hammer. People would say, Zenkai's still in there. So they would go in, and they would see him, and they would help him. And so he kept working by himself, and also inspired other people to come along and work with him. It said that it took him over 30 years to build this tunnel all the way through this tunnel, and that when it was completed, it was 308 steps. It was 144 meters long. So 308. Think if you're walking 1, 2, 3, you count it up to 308. That's how long this tunnel was, all the way through. And it was large enough for a person and a horse to pass through. So not only could the people go through, but the horses could pass through too. Right?
And the cattle too.
Right. All kinds of animals, all kinds of carts, all sorts of things could pass through this tunnel. This, to me, is a wonderful example of a Buddhist vow, making a promise, expressing your intention to help others, and working very hard, not just for your own benefit. So Zenkai built this tunnel, but it wasn't just for him to get through. You know, in 33 years, he could have walked around, right? He could have gone the whole way around Kyushu and got there, probably in a year or so. But 33 years, he kept working. So his goal was not just to arrive, but to arrive in such a way that everyone else could come through with him. So he's a wonderful example of the Buddhist vow, the vow of the Bodhisattva, not just to reach one's own destination, but to create a path for everybody to come through together. That was Zenkai's way of living, and that's expressed also in the vow of Amida Buddha. The Nembutsu, Namu Amida Butsu, has been provided for us by the Buddha as our own path through this difficult mountain of life, the challenges of greed, anger, ignorance. And just think about yourself. If you were walking along and you came to that spot and you saw that rickety old bridge along the side, or you saw that tunnel, what would you do? How would you get through? How would you get over to the other side? Yeah, how about you, Dioma? You would go through the tunnel? I would too, right? Would you try to dig your own tunnel? No, I wouldn't try to dig my own tunnel. I would go through this tunnel that's already been provided. So it's so wonderful that we have this tunnel, Namo Amida Butsu. These words, I take refuge in the Buddha of immeasurable light and life. And when we say Namo Amida Butsu, we hear this wisdom and compassion of the Buddha guiding us, lighting our way through this tunnel of difficult life and difficult living. And that Namo Amida Butsu is based on the vow of Amida Buddha to provide liberation from suffering, freedom from greed, anger, and ignorance for all people. And so that is expressed in these words that I read from Shinran Shonin, that this vow is likened to a ship. It's a ship that carries us across the ocean, like a tunnel that we can pass through smoothly. And that through this vow, this great vow, we're carried across this ocean and we reach the land of immeasurable light. Immeasurable light is the perfect wisdom of the Buddha that we receive in these words, Namo Amida Butsu. お念仏というのは一つの苦しみから掘られたトンネルですね。で、誰がこのトンネルを掘ったかというと、阿弥陀様ですね。阿弥陀様が私たちがこの苦しみの怒りとむさぼりと愚痴の中にずっと悩んでる、ずっと迷ってることですね。どこに進めばいい、そんな頑丈な壁が前に、どういうふうに前に進めるかと、ね、心の中に疑問が持つんですね。で、その念仏はその頑丈の壁の中に掘られたトンネル、それを通って、ね、楽に安全にたぬき師、ね、お念仏によってお浄土の極楽のところに届ける、楽に進めるという道ですね。仏様が私たちのためにこのトンネル、このお念仏の大いなる機械の船に乗って、それが私たちを苦しみの海から渡って極楽への届く道でございます。このレイバーデイウィーケンド、その労働感謝の、ね、時にいろいろな働く、いろいろ頑張っている人が私たちに頑張っている方を感謝することも大切ですが、私がこの時に仏様が私たちのために一生懸命精進して、ね、私の悟りができるようなお浄土を作られたことの感謝も満ち溢れるところでございます。So in conclusion, I'd like to once again read these words that we have in the writings of Shinran Shonin. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho をお願いします。Thus, when one has boarded the ship of the vow of great compassion, and sailed out on the vast ocean of light, the winds of perfect virtue blow softly, and the waves of evil are transformed. The darkness of ignorance is immediately broken through, and quickly reaching the land of immeasurable light, one realizes great nirvana.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.